They came for her at 6:47 a.m. Laura made a note of the time because she'd been waiting for this moment for 11 years, 1 month and 5 days, and she wanted always to remember it. The hour her life began. It was still dark, but she was already awake, already packed. The sum total of her possessions had been laid out in her suitcase with a military neatness. Two of everything, except underwear and books, of which there were 7 apiece. One pair of knickers for each day of the week, as ordered by matron, but not enough novels by half. Then again, Laura wasn't sure how many would be enough. When you spent your whole life waiting, books became like windows. Windows on the world, on the curious workings of the human mind, on shipwrecks, audacious jewel thieves and lights that signalled in the night, on giant hounds that roamed fog-wreathed moors, on magical tigers and savage bears, on incredible feats of survival and courage. Laura sighed and pulled back the curtain beside her bed. Her real window didn't open onto any of those things. Once it had faced the rolling, flower-filled landscape that had given the Sylvan Meadows Children Home its name. But that was before a health and safety official decided that nature presented a danger. As a result, Laura looked out onto a car park and a tarmac playground with a couple of swings. Beyond the hedge was a suburb of identical brown brick houses, now covered in snow. It was a vista of unrelenting dullness. Sometimes, when Laura was absorbed in a book, she'd glance up and be startled to find that she was still in a factory town in the far north of England, that she hadn't been spirited away to a forest of dark secrets or to the Swiss Alps, or a poppy-strewn meadow. But it wasn't about the meadow or the forest. Laura had been to some foster homes which had gardens the size of football pitches, packed with roses, ancient oaks, and decorative features like bird baths and love seats. One even had a swimming pool. She'd been to houses run like army units and another that smelled of incense and had a mum who sprinkled patchouli oil everywhere and a dad with hair down to his waist. And yet, none of them had felt right. Not even the last one, which was actually Laura's favourite because the dad loved books as much as she did. It was he who had given her 4 Matt Walker detective novels, Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express, and Bleak House by Charles Dickens. Apart from the books, they were boring, Laura told Matron when she returned after only 2 weeks. They spent a lot of time talking about recycling. The shortest time she'd ever lasted in a foster home was half a day. But that was because she'd refused to spend a night in the house of a woman who kept a chihuahua in her handbag. You're too fussy, scolded Matron. Life is full of compromises. You have to give people a chance. It's her choice if she wants to keep her dog in her bag. Yes, said Laura. And it's my choice not to be around people who treat animals as if they're toys with no feelings. It's also my choice if I don't want to eat tofu 7 nights a week. Matron put her hands on her generous hips. What is it you're wanting? What's going to make you happy? A castle on a hill with a Rolls Royce parked outside? What I want, said Laura, is to have a life packed with excitement like some of the characters in my books. Be careful what you wish for, cautioned Matron. Why? Asked Laura, because she knew that nothing raised grown-ups' blood pressure faster than challenging their stated truths. They hated inconvenient questions such as, what is the reason for that rule? Or, why has it taken social services 11 years to find that I have an uncle living by the sea in Cornwall who is willing to adopt me?